We will continue with the power method. There is a long list of remarks, observations, useful properties for this method. We start reconsidering the normalized version. I recall it briefly. A vector norm is chosen. And the iteration scheme is the following. The vector is on the sequence, G sub key. We multiply the matrix A by the current vector. Then we normalize, so the next vector, T sub k plus 1, is 1 over some beta with the same index, beta k plus 1, multiplied by the vector u, where the normalization constant is chosen exactly equal to the entry of this vector, such that this is only in the case of infinity norm. We choose beta as the last time we referred already to the infinity norm, or it was a general. Any vector norm, and the condition was simply given in this term is such that we require this condition. The constant beta, the positive constant beta, is such that this vector, with respect to the chosen norm, as norm 1. Mm-hmm. What can be said if, in the case of particular choices for the vector norm, in particular, in the case, if we consider the infinity norm, and also if we consider the Euclidean norm? In the first case, I can choose the beta exactly, this is what I was saying before, exactly equal to the entry of u, such that the modulus of this entry is equal to the infinity norm, which you know is defined as the maximum of all the moduli. In this way, if we refer to the main converging sequence. Which was the sequence of the ratios was this sequence of ratios for all indices J such that the denominator is non-zero. All these sequences converge to lambda sub 1. Last time we saw this. In the case of infinity norm, if I choose the index j, if j is equal to m, say this is m, okay, an index such that I have this equality, then u m iteration k plus 1 over t k m, for this choice, this value, the value at the denominator, is necessarily equal to 1. So I have just, but this value is beta k plus 1. So summarize, if I choose the infinity norm, and if I assign to the normalization constant this value, I can state that the sequence of the constants beta converge to lambda 1. Just remark that the index corresponding to the infinity norm does not change anymore from a certain iteration. This value is, as we are used to say, definitivamente constantis. Definitely the same. This is a nice feature. For this choice, we have the convergence of the normalization constants. What can be said about the normalization using the two norm? This is a good choice, especially when the matrix, the given matrix, is normal, for this reason. Normalizzazione in normal second case. In this case, a special another sequence is worth to be considered, which is the sequence of Rayleigh quotients. Who is the really questioned. Given in general, a relative quotient is defined as the scalar given by the ratio with this form, this quadratic form at the numerator and the square of the Euclidean norm at the denominator. In our case, we consider the quotients having the form A Tk, Tkh, Hermitian, Tkh, Tk. Let us call these numbers with sigma, sigma k, and let us consider the sequence of these colors. It can be proven using the same arguments used in the proof of convergence for the main sequence. It can be proven that this sequence again converges to lambda 1. In addition, the convergence of this sequence is faster with respect to the usual case. This is the interesting fact in the case of normal matrices. I mean that for normal matrices, we find that the Rayleigh quotient is given by, can be expressed as lambda 1, the limit, multiplied by 1 plus an infinitesimal quantity behaving as big O with this rate of convergence. Notice that here we have the usual ratio, the second eigenvalue, the dominant eigenvalue, but instead of having here k, we have 2 by k. So the convergence rate in this sense is doubled. Here you find a sketch of the proof. I skip most of the steps. The central facts which prove the result are the following. We start from definition. The definition can be simplified because we are using the two norms. So these vectors are normalized with respect to the two norms. So this scalar product is obliged to have a value 1. This product has already been defined as u sub k plus 1. So we can also, in a simpler way, write and also compute these sigmas as okay, simply this. If you return to this expression and you substitute substitute the various vectors with their expressions in terms of a basis of eigenvector if A is normal. The basis of eigenvector can be chosen orthonormal. So I skipped the various expansion, but the idea is simple, because if you substitute here inside the expression of the various vectors with their linear combinations in terms of orthonormal eigenvectors, if you perform the scalar products, most of the scalar products vanish because we have orthogonality. And the scalar products not vanishing make one. So the result can be, the sigma can be written in this way. And at the denominator, we have the scalar product. Okay. After substituting, we can put as a factor the dominant eigenvalue multiplied. The square of the modulus of alpha 1, suppose that, as usual, the first initial vector is expressed in terms of the eigenvectors. By developing, by expanding, we find this plus the terms from the value 2 of the index up to n, the square of the moduli of the other coefficients by just remark that we have here already 2 by k. And the denominator is a similar expression. The only difference is that here we have not this term. This can be written again as exactly can be written as this expression. Here we have the multiplying factor lambda 1, the dominant eigenvalue. If you divide, you can write all this term. The most important factor, as I told you before, is that yes, I have a double exponent. So, convergence is faster. The choice of the Euclidean norm is good choice for normal matrices, in particular for Hermitian or symmetric matrices. Well, yes, see? See? If k tends to infinity, these two terms goes to zero for the same reason that we know the central motivation for all phenomenal convergence in this method and its variants. We have here these ratios where the denominator is larger than the various numerators. So the limit is alpha 1 modulo square over alpha 1 modulo square. And this makes this 1. The rate of convergence to 0 is given by this term. Well, say I remark it again, the exponent is 2 by k. Well, at this point we can give a list of pros and cons for this method. We begin from the main limitation. These methods gives us only one eigenvalue, one particular eigenvalue, the dominant eigenvalue. What if I am interested in some other eigenvalue? I write this shortly. By saying that only one eigenvalue is approximated with its eigenvector. Only how this limitation can be overcome? The idea is taking in consideration the inverse of A. Why? The eigenvalue that is approximated is computed by means of this method is the dominant eigenvalue. Which is the dominant eigenvalue of the inverse of A? This matrix, when it exists, has eigenvalues the inverses, the reciprocals of the eigenvalues of the given matrix. So we immediately see that the dominant eigenvalue, assuming the usual ordering, the ordering that was assumed was this, if we require here a strict inequality between the last and the previous eigenvalue in magnitude, we can say that this number is the dominant eigenvalue for the inverse. So the idea is simply to apply the power method to the inverse, so we will approximate the inverse of the last eigenvalue. We will compute the inverse of the approximation, so we will approximate eventually lambda sub n. This use of the power method is called method of Lucas inverse power method. inverse. In the standard version, without normalization for short noise, we can write that the generic vector can be written as the power with the same having exponent and index of the iterate multiplied by the initial guess. The definition is the same. The main difference between the implementation of this variant, this is a variant, is that at each step we have to compute the new vector as the inverse of the matrix by. I have told you many times that if possible, the explicit inverse of a matrix would be, we would avoid computing the explicit inverse of the matrix. So we prefer, instead of computing the inverse, and instead of multiplying it at each step by the previous vector, we prefer to consider at the generic step of the iterative method, we refer to solve the linear system carrying the inverse at this side. So we have A by the new vector, the unknown vector, the known term at the right hand side is the previous vector. This means solving a linear system at each step. The computational cost can be reduced if we compute some factorization, say the LU factorization or the QR factorization, before starting the iteration. So we have at any iteration the LU factors or the QR factors of the matrix, so each iteration costs again O, big O of n squared, as in the standard case. Per le potenze inverse, a ogni passo ha un costo che è allo stesso ordine di grandezza rispetto alle potenze dirette. Method. In the direct power methods, we have only to multiply a matrix by a vector, so we have the same complexity per step. This is for the the last eigenvalue. The first, the dominant eigenvalue for A, the last eigenvalue, the dominant eigenvalue for the inverse. How can we modify this method in order to use it for computing or approximating some intermediate eigenvalue? Also, this is possible. Sì? Dunque, premesso che il calcolo dell'inversa appunto va evitato per ragioni di stabilità, perché se io calcolo male l'inversa, cosa molto frequente nel caso di matrici non ben condizionate, poi mi porto dietro un errore che mi inquina, diciamo, tutto il procedimento. Le potenze poi esplicitamente non si calcolano mai neanche nel metodo diretto, cioè io non qual è la domanda? No, no, dunque, questo deve essere chiaro, this must be clear. the power of the given metric is never explicitly computed. Io non calcolo mai, torniamo alla versione diretta. Even if it is true that the generic vector can be expressed as the corresponding power of the matrix by the initial, because it is sub zero, I will not compute this computing before this power and multiplying by the initial guess, but I will compute this as the previous by A, the new. So the quadratic complexity stems from this one. This is the iterative scheme.
I thought we were choosing a value of k and then trying to increase the value.
No. The sequence is computed explicitly. The powers of the matrix are not computed explicitly. The product of matrices requires an qubit for a simple reason of complexity. We spare flops doing in this case. In the inverse power variant, there is the presence of the inverse. We prefer, as I told you a few minutes ago, to solve for each step a linear system instead of computing the inverse of the matrix. Another variant, this is a variant of the inverse power method, allowing us to compute intermediate eigenvalues. If I am interested in some eigenvalue in the middle of the spectrum, say the index, I use the same index. Lambda sub j. The eigenvalues this is j minus 1, j plus 1. Now we suppose that here we have strict inequalities. We don't care. We don't care about the strictness of other inequalities. We select a particular eigenvalue, the third, the fourth eigenvalue, for some reason I'm interested in approximated, an intermediate eigenvalue, which must have distinct modulus, distinct from the modulus of the previous and the successive. In this way, if we consider the reciprocals, I have this strictly less than this, strictly less than. Now, suppose that we know an approximation of lambda sub j, say mi, or mi. let this color be an approximation of the desired eigenvalue lambda j. And now we consider the inverse power method applied to A minus me multiplied by the identity matrix. So we are referring to the inverse of this matrix. I know A, I know this scalar, which is given an approximation of the eigenvalues. The dominant eigenvalue of this matrix is 1, the reciprocal, let's write it this way, of lambda j minus me. The matrix has eigenvalues, the reciprocals of this number inverted, which is the maximum in modulus among all these numbers. When the value is minimum in modulus, the minimum is attained in correspondence of the eigenvalue lambda sub j approximated by the scalar me. Conclusion. This variant, which is called Wieland method, allows us to approximate Wieland method. Also, this is a variant. It consists of the power of the inverse power method applied to A minus me I. The method gives what? Gives lambda j, lambda sub j minus me, say eta, I recover lambda j by adding me to it. The corresponding eigenvectors are the same. With these manipulations of the matrices involved, I will change eigenvalues in a simple way. The inverse, the reciprocal. The shift of the eigenvalues. The eigenvectors always remain unchanged. So I will approximate this eigenvalue. Its eigenvector will be the right eigenvector for the given matrix. Again, the limitation, this is the main limitation, the obvious limitation of a method, only one eigenvalue at a time, can be overcome with this variance. I can approximate any eigenvalue of the spectrum starting from an approximation which can be given by some separation criterion, such as Gasgorian theorems. The heavy assumptions for convergence can be removed, weakened in some sense. Also, in this case, the answer is yes. Let us start from the condition regarding the modeling. which appears as a limited condition. Weakening the convergence assumptions. One. When the two leading eigenvalues are modulus are equal, have equal moduli. In this case, we can distinguish various subcases. The simplest is the case where the dominant eigenvalue is multiple. In this case, algebraic multiplicity equal to 2. 2 equal dominant eigenvalues. First, the leading dominant eigenvalue is multiple. But we could have also other cases. Equal in modulus, but not equal. More generally, imagine that lambda 1 and lambda 2 are different. Then we can also consider special cases. The case in when the two eigenvalues are a complex conjugate pair. The first is the conjugate of the second, equal modulus. There are many possible cases. What happens about convergence? In the first case, convergence again occurs. Abbiamo ancora convergenza. The proof can be easily modified when we write the generic vector y sub k. In this case, we will have two eigenvectors, the dominant eigenvalue, which is multiplicity 2. Here we have coefficient, it was alpha from 3 to n. If we put as in the proof we saw last time as a factor, we will have it again. Here I have the power k, lambda I k, and under lambda 1 k, and again this term goes to 0. So we will have again convergence. When we have different eigenvalues with the same modulus, this is a more difficult case, but the method we can say the standard convergence I mean the convergence of the sequences that have been considered till now does not occur. Non abbiamo convergenza delle stesse successioni che abbiamo introdotto. Però il metodo può essere modificato in modi più o meno complicati in modo da recuperare qualche tipo di convergenza. The method can be modified in such a way that some kind of convergence still occurs. Of convergence still occurs. Another assumption which appears very important to the diagonalizability. Diagonalizability. If A is not diagonalizable, se non è diagonalizzabile, c'è ancora la possibilità, it is still possible to modify the method, slightly modify the method, the main sequence in particular converges very slowly. So this is the case, one of the cases for which the method is not very efficient. Assumption over the moduli, assumption over the basis of eigenvectors, the diagonalizability. The third assumption can in some sense also be removed. It is less important than it looks. The third assumption regarded the first coefficient of the expansion of the initial vector as a linear combination of the eigenvector. We required alpha sub 1 non zero. Well, if this, it is possible that alpha sub 1 is 0 and we are not aware of this problem, but due to the presence of rounding errors, we see that after a few iterations, the computed sequence is the exact sequence corresponding to a different initial vectors. Per merito degli errori di arrotondamento, due to the rounding errors, the computed sequence yk tilde is the exact sequence referred, obtainable from a different value of the initial vector having leading coefficient alpha 1 not 0. Questa è una situazione, this is a situation, this is a case, when rounding errors are welcome. Naturally, this phenomenon is clear after a certain number of initial iterations in which the first iteration a fake convergence to lambda sub 2 can be seen in the first iterations. The second eigenvalue is approximated. After a certain number of iterations, as a consequence of the presence of the unavoidable presence of rounding errors, the contribution due to the eigenvector corresponding to the dominant eigenvector is present in the computation. So eventually we have again a slow convergence. Slow convergence to lambda.
How can we tell if calculating lambda 2 or lambda 1?
This can be a problem. This can be a problem. We can guess that there is a problem of this nature if we see a slow convergence. We don't know much about the geometric properties of the metric A. We don't know the multiplicities of the eigenvalues in general. So what can be done is to start from a random piece of zero and to start with the method inspecting the behavior of the sequence. If there is some strange phenomenon, the better thing is to restart the method after a certain number of iterations from a different value of the initial vector. There is a last question to speak about, but we stop for 10 minutes. Okay. Altre domande? Cioè, il pregio di questo metodo, detto in poche parole, è di essere molto semplice e di manifestare qualche tipo di convergenza in tutti i casi, cioè, anche in quelli che sfuggono alle ipotesi che abbiamo dato. La difficoltà è di capire se i risultati forniti da una successione convergente, magari molto lentamente convergente, sono da prendere per buoni, oppure bisogna cambiare un po' le carte in tavola, semplicemente per esempio cambiando il vettore iniziale. Fermiamoci un po'.